antwoord.
What does that mean?
The answer.
Answer to what?
Whatever, man.
I've got a question about the word suicide. But not as it refers to its literal meaning. When I was a little kid, my brother and I would go to a convenience store or a fast food place where you could fill up your own soda. And when you put different types of soda into your glass, that was called a suicide. And I thought that was just something my brother and I said, but I guess it's not. Everybody I know says that. And I was just wondering how that word got attached to doing that.
10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
You cannot get past your future. Why can't you get past your future? You heard me right, the first infinity. I often go back to when I was 16, when I choose to recall days when it seemed that I was always being led down the dark hallways of hell into some empty 145th and St. Nick apartment with nothing but a kitchen table and a scale and some dread ready to blast my physical form back into dust. Ashes to ashes, the lust for cash passes when you're starving. Standing on the urine-covered floor of an East Orange, New Jersey jail cell. Can you see yourself there? Ain't nobody here gonna be the next John Gotti. The average black drug dealer is nothing more than a newspaper delivery boy for the status quo, like COINTELPRO inside the US organization, only there to pacify the masses, like the opium war. The only way to ensure that the have-nots will continue to have not is to be sure that the have-nots have at least one thing. Good drugs. And read my lips, black drug dealers don't never stay rich. Your lawyer don't work for you, you work for your lawyer. And every dime you make that the cops don't take will eventually go straight into your lawyer's pocket. All that cash you stashed in your sock getting shot at on the corner for the past 3 years, his profit. All them sweaty $100 bills you dropped in that safe deposit box, you ain't got shit. All three branches of this government rightfully consider you to be their bitch and your community are just John's. And the closest you'll ever get to succeeding is a tax evasion proceeding in which the IRS slides that Rolex off your wrist. It had to end like this. You can't get past your future. Why can't you get past your future? You heard me right, the first infinity. You better get your life together before a bathtub full of flaming gasoline does it for you. The streets are filled with 9mm castrations for overnight crack dealing sensations who might have shot 2 or 3 lowlifes but have yet to even contemplate a murder worth investigating. Ain't got no cops on your payroll, ain't got no judges in your pocket, and if listening to hip-hop is making you believe that you're above the law, then you need to hurry up and stop it, because your future was written into the Declaration of Independence. Your life story was discussed in Thomas Jefferson's lodge meetings. Your tragedy was joked about in George Washington's investment club as they sipped on spirits that they traded your great-great-great-great-grandfather for, like the guns that your great-great-great-great-great-grandfather traded him for, like the temporary cash flow that you now trade your time on this earth for. Your past is coming back, your future is even more present, your soul has been on this planet 36 times and you have yet to learn the first lesson. If you're young, black, and male in this civilization, then the proper foundation is education, street smarts, and patience. But most important, you never forsake your principles. I said you never forsake your principles. I said you never forsake your principles. Because if you forsake your principles, you will never get past your future.
This is the conspiratorial view of history, as opposed to the accidental view. And it is the conspiratorial view that we shall present in this program.
The distinguished lawyer Charles Hamilton Houston was born in 1895, 8 months before the Supreme Court's separate but equal ruling in Plessy versus Ferguson. He spent his career fighting to overturn that infamous decision. At Howard University Law School, Houston trained a cadre of top-notch black lawyers. Among them was Mr. Justice Thurgood Marshall. Then, as director of the NAACP legal campaign, Houston masterminded the strategy that eventually led to the historic decision of Brown versus Board of Education, which reversed the Supreme Court's position on separate but equal. He set an important legal precedent in 1935 when he successfully challenged the University of Maryland Law School for refusing to admit a black student. I'm Barack Obama, remembering Charles Hamilton Houston and celebrating a great moment in our history.
Black History Month you find
ridiculous.
Why?
You're going to relegate my history to a month?
Oh, come on.
What do you do with yours? Which month is White History Month? Come on. Tell me.
I'm Jewish.
Okay. Which month is Jewish History Month?
There isn't one.
Oh. Oh. Why not?
Yeah.
Do you want one?
No.
No. I don't either. I don't want a Black History Month. Black history is American history.
How are we going to get rid of racism until...
Stop talking about it. I'm going to stop calling you a white man.
Yeah.
And I'm going to ask you to stop calling me a black man. I know you as Mike Wallace. You know me as Morgan Freeman.
I'm Morgan Freeman. And I chicken to China, the Chinese chicken. I have a drumstick, and my brain stops ticking. Watching X-Files with no lights on. Denzel Mays on. I hope the smoking man's in this one. Like Harrison Ford, I'm getting frantic. Like Sting, I'm tantric. Like Snickers, guaranteed to satisfy. Like Kurosawa, I make mad films. Okay, I don't make films. But if I did... they'd have a samurai.
Tonight, a judge here in Atlanta breathes new life into an old dispute. The judge has just decided to hold a court hearing here in Atlanta later this month on whether President Obama is a natural-born U.S. citizen. John Shirik is here with more on the story. Why is this coming up again, and why now, John?
Well, it's coming up because some Georgia voters are suing to try to remove President Obama's name from the Georgia primary ballot in March unless he can prove to their satisfaction that he is a natural-born U.S. citizen. The administrative hearings judge in Atlanta just decided he will give them a hearing on January 26th.
This is all about constitutional eligibility to be on the ballot.
One of the Georgia plaintiffs is Carl Swenson of Clayton County, who, with the others, will make various legal arguments at the hearing that the long-running dispute over President Obama's citizenship has never been settled. So Obama's name should be removed from the Georgia presidential primary ballot in March.
Scandalous. trying to kick President Obama off the ballot went as far as sending him a subpoena ordering him to be in court today. So that meant the defense table was empty in front of Fulton County Judge Michael Malahide. The gist of the argument he heard was that since one of President Obama's parents was not a legal citizen, the president does not fit the court-defined definition of a natural-born citizen. In a letter to the Georgia Secretary of State trying to get this case thrown out, the president's lawyer said there is no legitimate issue here. He said the state of Hawaii has produced an official record of birth. But witnesses here today said that document is a Photoshop fraud. They produced evidence they say shows the president's Social Security number is also a fake and actually belongs to someone born in 1890.
President Barack Obama was a no-show today at a Fulton County hearing about his citizenship. Three different groups are suing to get the president kicked off the ballot in Georgia. One even went as far as giving him a subpoena, trying to force him into court.
The court case in Georgia, specifically Jablonski, which is kind of funny because in the comic books, Jablonski is the scientist who gets turned into the abomination, who's the guy who's the nemesis of the Hulk. So Jablonski basically tries to pressure the governor of Georgia, tries to pressure the Secretary of State, and demands that the case be dismissed out of hand, and that the president is busy and he can't be bothered with this frivolous nonsense. And the governor said, nothing I can do about it. That's your judicial branch. The Secretary of State said, quote, do you think that the president is above the law? And Jablonski obviously said yes. And so behind closed doors, he basically said, look, if you don't dismiss this case out of hand, I'm picking up my bat and my ball and I'm going home. And Judge Malahi, I hope I'm saying his name correctly, or Malahi, I'm sorry, is how you say his name, basically said, okay, well, here's how it's going to play. I'm going to judge this case basically with you and your client in absentia, and I'm going to rule for a default. I want a streamlined version of the case, which is what they did on Thursday or Friday, I think it was Thursday of last week. And I'm basically going to find a summary judgment and issue a default judgment. Now, I spoke to Orly Tates today, and I said, what's going on with the case? And Orly said, what we are doing is that we know the game they're trying to play. They are trying to make it so the default judgment would be fairly easy, they believe, to overturn with the appellate court, and that they might be able to twist or squeeze or have some influence or be able to pull the old, you know, Chicago way on the appellate court. So what she's asking for is that the court rule on the merits of the case. Wins his case in Georgia, then that means he's off the ballot. in Georgia. And I guarantee you, there's a lot of states out there that hate Barry Satoro's guts, like Alabama, like, oh, let me see, Arizona, like New Hampshire, Vermont, oddly enough, strangely enough. And a lot of these things, it will be res judicata. All these people in the quote, you know, that the media calls the crazy birthers, well, guess what? It will have been proven in a court of law that the birth certificates are fake, his Social Security number is fake, his citizenship is fake. Oddly enough, they presented evidence that he was also a dual citizen of Indonesia, presented his passport, and the judge said, irrelevant. I don't know why he's not judging the fact that he's a dual citizen as well, because that's another constitutional thing. Anyway, so that's that. I wanted to bring you up to date on that, because if this happens, remember I was also telling you that a sudden, short, sharp shock is about ready to occur on February 8th and 9th of next week. That's next Wednesday and Thursday. That's the first big plateau of the Time Wave Zero software, that something bizarre and earth-shattering is going to happen then. If this comes down next week, I don't see how the national media will be able to ignore it. I do not see how various states across the country where similar challenges to this. And again, if you or I were running for president of the United States, okay, here's my birth certificate. There you go. Okay. It would cost me about $500, you know, $6 a piece for 50 birth certificates and then maybe priority mail to send them to Secretary of State of all 50 states. Barack Obama's now spent $12 million of either his money and government money defending himself against this. There are people in jail because they've disobeyed orders in the military claiming that Barack Obama's not the commander-in-chief. And so, you know, it's a big deal. But he's been fighting this and ducking this and doing all kinds of crazy things.
Government. It loves you and wants to keep you safe and well. It even wants to make paying taxes, fines, and court costs easier for you. How? Well, you'll need to meet your straw man. He was born the same day you were. He looks like you, has the same name, and lives in your house, but you never knew he existed. You will have even paid his parking tickets or taxes. The worst part? He's been dead from day one. From every birth certificate, a legal personality, or legal fiction, is created with the same name to confuse little old you into thinking it's you. So, there is a human you and a paper you, or as it's commonly known, a straw man. So when it seems like government officials, court clerks, or the police are speaking English, they aren't. They're speaking legalese, designed to make you agree to verbal and written contracts without even knowing about it, all spun from Black's Law Dictionary. For example, when the police say, "Do you understand?" you'll say, "Yes." What they are really saying is, "Do you stand under our authority?" Oops-a-daisy, you just created a verbal contract with them. Oh, you clever government. Did you know that whenever you register something, you are handing over title to the person you register it with? That's right. Whenever you register something with the government, they assume it belongs to them. Registered your car? Super! Now you are the registered keeper of your vehicle, and the government can crush it when you don't pay your, straw man's taxes. Expecting a new bundle of joy? Well then, you need to register your little darling with a birth certificate. Then they can start the process all over again and create a new straw man for your little one. Isn't that great? So when Junior grows up, he'll be able to generate revenue just like you have. When you notify on your baby by signing the birth certificate, your child becomes a ward of state. And if the government doesn't like what you're doing, they'll assume it's okay to take the child away or make new rules for things they don't like. Not enough school? Smacking your child? Shouting too loudly? Then it's off to social services for the little one. When you get a bill, it's sent to you but belongs to your straw man, not you. That's why bills, fines, and summons start with Mr., Mrs., or Ms. Sometimes you'll see your surname in capitals, just like on a gravestone. That's because your straw man is dead and just a silly piece of paper, created before you could comprehend or even consent to it. When you go to court, you represent your straw man. So you, the human, take on any costs, fees, taxes, and fines involved for the straw man. The human you doesn't even need to pay them. But you made a contract with the court by appearing on behalf of your legal personality, or straw man. Just like the government knew you would. Confused? Well, don't worry. The government doesn't want you to know anyway. If you knew, you'd stop paying things like council tax and parking tickets. Because when you go to court, you are representing your straw man. You are you, alive and made of flesh and blood. Your straw man, or legal personality, is a piece of paper created from your birth certificate. And you think it's you. What a silly Billy.
This is hard to get people to understand that there are criminals running the government and stealing your rights, stealing your assets, stealing your money, stealing your healthcare, stealing your food, stealing your water. They're stealing everything that's not nailed down. It's like a global freaking casino where the mafia runs the casino. And anybody who winds up getting a decent draw at five card stud winds up getting kicked out and his thumbs taken off. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, I mean, even stoners like being slaves now, you know? Cop comes up to you, pulls you up, yeah, yes sir, no sir, I've got three bags full, sir.
Okay, let's quit with the flexing, I'm axing. How's about just kicking back and relaxing? I'm done with the construction, filled with that concoction. Say what the hell and kill a few brain cells. And it's swell, cause just as well, I'm in the mood to hit the two fields in the brick with the doom that be sending us to never, never land. That I couldn't handle the vandal, lit up with my candle, getting pretty mangled with the poison, my seven leaf poison, and then I pause and feel the effects of the my name is Watkin. What can be better than this be? I'm feeling doopy, 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 doopy. So just pump the magic and drag on, pump the magic and drag on.
At five stories, this cannabis farm found in central New York takes the phrase getting high to new levels. The building in the heart of the Bronx was found to contain almost 600 plants up to 7 feet tall, producing some $250,000 or £150,000 of cannabis every month. Police were alerted following a tip-off from a neighbour. They investigated and found something definitely smelled funny, so to speak, and spent the next 2 months watching the property. Three men were arrested in the raid, which is believed to have weeded out one of the city's biggest producers.
The magic.
Just call me the baker man, cause I bake all day. Pass it to the left, then it comes back my way, then I sway. But you know I never stumble, cause B is back, and I don't mean no bumble. I mean the baker B, the one who's on the rise. Baking the ish till I got them Chinese eyes. Cause like Papa needs his spinach, I need my weed. Remove that seed, then I'm ready indeed. So jump on that bus like Reeves in speed. Cause every man has one basic need. So let's use that seed like the good Lord instructed. Don't fret about the pigs, cause they all corrupted. And once I get baked, baked like a cake, I'm just like a king. And that's when I sing,
pop the magic and drag on. Pop the magic and drag on. Pop the magic and drag on.
Lawmakers in Olympia are considering an initiative that would allow anyone 21 years old and above the right to buy marijuana from the state. KXLY 4's Annie Bishop is live tonight to explain Initiative 502.
And the state is moving forward with that initiative that the feds say is
Today, the Washington Secretary of State announced I-502 has enough valid signatures, 278,000 of them, for the House and Senate to now consider it. If passed, anyone over 21 years old could use the drug legally with some limitations without fear of getting arrested.
For years, the federal government and Washington State have been at odds when it comes to medical marijuana. Federal drug enforcement agents made their position clear when they raided and shut down dozens of medical marijuana dispensaries in Spokane last year. In Washington, it's legal for medicinal use, but how it's bought and sold is vague. Initiative 502, now before lawmakers in Olympia, would change that, making marijuana use legal for anyone over the age of 21. It would also license and regulate the sale of marijuana, much like alcohol. Supporters of I-502 say it could generate more than $200 million in state revenue.
I think that it is a person's right to be able to use and what they would like to put in their own body.
Even so, Darren McCray with Spokannabis believes I-502 needs to go further and change how marijuana is classified as a drug.
This plant is safer than tobacco, coffee, all these other plants.
McCray uses medical marijuana to alleviate the pain of rheumatoid arthritis. While he appreciates the effort to make marijuana mainstream, McCray fears state-run dispensaries could make getting his medicine more expensive. McCray is confident the initiative will pass.
The magic. It's just one of those days that I'm feeling kinda lazy. Time to hit the crazy stuff that makes everything hazy. Puff it up.
U.S. law enforcement sources say Panama's strongman, General Manuel Noriega, is expected to be indicted on drug charges tomorrow by a federal grand jury in Miami. The Reuters news agency says the indictment would not be unsealed or announced until Friday. In another report, intelligence sources say the CIA paid Noriega $200,000 a year for at least a decade. And the New York Times says in its Thursday editions that the White House set up a secret operation in 1986 that called for Panama to arrange a communist bloc shipment of arms that could then be captured in El Salvador and falsely linked to the Sandinista government of Nicaragua.
Everywhere, like, such as?
The Times quotes a former aide to Noriega as saying the deal was put together by Lieutenant Colonel Oliver North.
Can you hate it?
A new poll shows the GOP nomination is now a two-way race between Mitt Romney and total voter apathy. Cartoon Network celebrates BRAC History Month. and a local suitcase looks forward all year to the carousel ride. Just look at you, still held prisoner by your outdated concepts of morality and journalistic ethics. In many ways, we pity you. It's the Onion Week in Review. President Obama is being blasted this week after it was revealed that he has been living in a lavish neoclassical mansion while the majority of Americans struggle to make ends meet. Many critics have pointed to the president's palatial 132-room estate, complete with 5 personal chefs, a live-in maid service, and a 24-hour security detail, as a clear sign that Obama is out of touch with ordinary citizens.
I'm working 2 jobs, trying to keep my head above water, and this guy is flying in a private jet to Germany just to have dinner with Angela Merkel.
Pointing out that Obama has indulged in such wild extravagances as keeping Abraham Lincoln's bed in a guest room of his home, Republican presidential candidate Mitt Romney pledged Tuesday that he would sign a lease on a modest studio apartment in Arlington, Virginia, should he be elected president in November. Sources at the Huffington Post confirmed this week that employee Henry Evers died Thursday after being sucked into the website's massive content aggregation turbine. Evers was reportedly killed when he tried to dislodge a 700-word Time magazine piece addressing the Middle East uprisings that had become wedged in the powerful news repurposing machine. The automated mechanism, which was developed by Greek billionaire and company founder Arianna Huffington, rapidly gathers vast numbers of articles from the internet with its rotor assembly, rebrands them with the Huffington Post name, and indiscriminately ejects them onto the site's homepage.
I saw some New York Times articles and celebrity anti-vaccination editorials backing up, and I realized Henry had been pulled headfirst into the rotary casing. We couldn't shut it down, or we would have risked missing a breaking story on Brody Jenner.
In response to the accident, Huffington released a statement saying her site will publish a slideshow Monday in Evers' honor, entitled The 25 Funniest Animal Photobombs Henry Would Have Loved. Officials at the U.S. Food and Drug Administration called an emergency press conference Tuesday to urge all Americans to check out a really weird-looking potato. According to FDA Chief Dr. Margaret Hamburg, the half-pound root vegetable was discovered Monday evening by an agency employee while food shopping at this Maryland grocery store. Hamburg also announced the launch of a new informational website featuring dozens of pictures of the potato from every angle, as well as several speculative reports addressing what could have possibly happened to make the tuber look so awful. Additionally, FDA officials said that the vegetable would be kept in a climate-controlled environment in order to avoid the mistakes that were made last year with a tomato that looked like a butt.
Get cryptic, rip it, apocalyptic. This shit sticks when I kick it mystic. Check out this temporary multi-dimensional imagery being projected on your screen while you're keeping it real. Do I break down hypothetical situations to remove the conversations that give birth to tangible manifestations? I defy explanation. This life form is spontaneously created from a sea of information. While I creep up on you, could you talking in your sleep like you running around in your pajama? You better wake up or get ready for some drama. You fast away, I'm dragging out your gamma. You play down me, but I don't take your six yama. What did you say? You did not stutter, is that Manunda, aka Silent Thunder? I speak into the instrument that converts sound waves into electrical waves, so enabling them to be transmitted to nice folks with nice flows. By sticking to the facts, now you got max stuck in your head like an axe. Hey! You don't have to do what they do. Hey, you don't have to do what they do.
انا ضد ان الدوري يكمل بالشكل ده. انا لوحدي.
ايوه
الدوري يكمل.
Chaos in Egypt.
It'll take time to restore chaos and order, but we're order out of chaos, but we will.
Dozens dead, hundreds injured. The death toll is rising in Port Said tonight after violent clashes erupted at a soccer match. The game was between Al Ahly and underdogs Al Masry, a team based in Port Said. Al Masry won the match, but the fans still stormed the pitch. The clashes were bloody and violent, with state television claiming most of the deaths were caused by head injuries. And it didn't stop there. As news of the violence in Port Said spread through the country, a match in Cairo was halted, and the result was this. In Port Said tonight, military helicopters have evacuated Al Ahly players and fans, and rumours circulate that this football violence has a more sinister catalyst, that there was political motivation behind these shocking scenes.
No thanks, song ain't funny in your mouth. Put your asses me, you can do what you wanna. While I walk this earth, they're eradicating my karma. Got some things to do, then I'm on to Nirvana. Always gonna smile for you like the Dalai Lama. Cause I'm good and clean and fresh, tra-la-la-la. Yo, little fishy don't wanna mess with the piranha. When I get wicked, then kick it like a chihuahua. Yo, yo, paso blighty. Little dogs wanna bite me. It's the postman delivering the word of the almighty. You can't rock it, your balls haven't dropped yet. Till when the drop, my balls pop out their eye sockets. Did you just see what I saw? Bring that lyrical kung fu shish, the heart saw. I'll give you my heart and my soul, that's all. I got the sun in my face, that's why I stand tall. That's all, out of my fiascos like Donnie Brasco with no hassle. Splashing my dish like Picasso. It's like I'm on a hard date with my crossmate. Come on baby, milk my prostate. It's like, hey, you don't have to do what they do. Hey, you don't have to do what they do.
When we get an outcry of complaints for an area, we analyze what's been going on in the area, crime trends.
And then we will deploy the peacemakers into the area.
So that the bad guys know, hey, we're watching you.
I love it. You know, I don't mind.
The talk is there because of me. Yeah?
I mean, you have people complaining that they don't want that on this block, and so I think that's a red flag, and I think the police should focus on those people. Why won't they want that on their block?
They say that I run a prostitution. I run a motel. Simple as that.
We've had an outcry of support from the community. And the people who seem to have a problem with it tend to be people committing crimes.
Oh, they put that there to intimidate the customers. You know, people don't want to go on cannabis.
I wish there was another one right here.
These trucks are capable of conducting surveillance 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
I wish there was another one right here.
You know what? I don't have anything different than any other motel has. The only thing that I don't have is the 5 stars. It's the only thing that I don't have.
I think we're making progress, and we're not finished. We're going to continue to do what we have to do.
I don't know what they even talking about. Neighbors complain. They complain about what?
There are no mistakes about it. This vehicle has it written all over it that it's conducting surveillance.
I wish there was another one right here.
We want people to know that we're watching.
Bring it!
First, it looks like a normal traffic stop in central Texas, the dashboard camera recording everything as usual. Then a tiny light appears in the sky in the distance, travelling slowly towards Earth. The Federal Aviation Administration has confirmed the bright light was probably a meteor, but some local residents speculated it was a UFO or a plane on fire. The light was also seen by witnesses to the north in parts of Oklahoma and Kansas.
In other news, a new study reveals that the majority of suicides occur while trying to put a fitted sheet on a bed.
Life could be a dream if I could take you up in paradise up above. If you would tell me I'm the only one that you love, life could be a dream, sweetheart. Hello, hello again, chibble mine up, but we'll meet again. Life could be a dream if only all my precious plans would come true. If you would let me spend my whole life loving you, life could be a dream, sweetheart. Now every time I look at you, something is on my mind. If you do what I want you to, baby, maybe so fine.
Snapshots of a world away. These photographs, released by Survival International, are of the Masco Piro tribe living in the Amazon region of southeastern Peru. According to the organisation, they're the most detailed sightings of uncontacted Indians ever recorded on camera. They were taken near the Manu National Park, where the tribe's believed to live. Reported sightings are becoming more frequent, and the advocacy group believes this could be attributed to low-flying helicopters displacing the tribes from their homes.
Life could be a dream if I could take you up in paradise up above. If you would tell me I'm the only one that you love, life could be a dream, sweetheart. Shaboom, shaboom, yadda-da-da-da-da, shaboom, shaboom, yadda-da-da-da-da, shaboom, shaboom, yadda-da-da-da-da, shaboom. Shaboom, shaboom, yadda-da-da-da-da, shaboom. Shaboom, yadda da 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 da, shaboom, shaboom, yadda da 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 da, shaboom.
There was panic at Taru Jerag Zoo in Indonesia when this lion escaped from its cage. The 15-year-old male attacked two camels in their enclosure, killing one named Thomas and injuring the other. It took 90 minutes for zoo officials to capture the lion and shoot him with a tranquilizer dart. Investigators later found the zookeeper had forgotten to lock the big cat's cage.
Every time I look at you, something is on my mind. If you do what I want you to, maybe we'll be so fine. Could be a dream if I could take you up in paradise up above. If you would tell me I'm the only one that you love, life could be a dream, sweetheart. Hello, hello again, shaboom, whenever we'll meet again. In our needing dung, a ling a ling a ling. Boom, ba-doom, 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 ba-doom. Oh, life could be a dream, life could be a dream, sweetheart. Could be a dream if only all my precious plans would come true. If you would let me spend my whole life loving you, life could be a dream, sweetheart.
Last evening, we reported the third atomic test explosion in Nevada. We reported it as a mere footnote to the news of the day and suggested these things are becoming so routine as no longer even to be interesting as news items. With today's fourth explosion, we must rescue that story from the category of a footnote. This one this morning was the biggest of all. It shook nearby Las Vegas like an earthquake, shattered a big store window, brought a flood of alarmed inquiries, set off burglar alarms, and was visible 300 miles away in Los Angeles, where the United Press says the flash was so bright that a photographer made use of it to take a photograph showing the printing on billboards 300 feet from his camera. Well, the coincidence of the photographer being set up to take this picture at the moment of the supposedly secret detonation on the remote testing ground isn't explained. But from this and other evidence, it doesn't seem unreasonable to draw a conclusion, a conclusion that the Atomic Energy Commission might be touching off these bombs with an eye to all possible publicity, both so far as the Russians and our own people are concerned, even perhaps to the point of advising a photographer in Los Angeles to have his shutter cocked.
For the moment, the celestial flash gun goes off.
One other indication that we may be in the midst of a campaign to make us atom bomb conscious, the other day a Canadian scientist hinted that a snowfall in Ontario had brought with it radioactive particles from the Nevada explosions, and today that story takes on some trimmings. The New York office of the Atomic Energy Commission announces it's investigating reports that measurably radioactive snow has fallen at Rochester since the beginning of the Nevada tests, and the United Press says Governor Thomas E. Dewey has ordered an investigation by State Health Commission in order to find out what there is to the story. Radioactive snow is also reported at Cincinnati. The commission emphasizes that the Rochester reports indicate there is no harm to humans or animals in this radioactive snow, but certainly it does induce a shuddery feeling to realize that it's possible, in the ultimate perfection of radiation bombing,
to sow a snowstorm with death more than 2,000 miles
from the scene. With all the troubles that beset us and the prospect of more to come, there's perhaps an inevitable corollary. An Associated Press survey reports today there are indications of a phenomenal upsurge of interest in religion in the United States.
Hayat nebet, enenet nebet, jedefuet ef, awet ef, haset, semau emsa.
Standing unnoticed on the edge of the group, Reardon heard a woman who had large diamond earrings and a flabby, nervous face ask tensely, "Signor Danconia, what do you think is going to happen to the world?" "Just exactly what it deserves." "Oh, how cruel." "Don't you believe in the operation of the moral law, madame?" Francisco asked gravely. "I do." Reardon heard Bertram Scudder outside the group say to a girl who had made some sound of indignation, "Don't let him disturb you. You know, money is the root of all evil, and he's the typical product of money." Reardon did not think that Francisco could have heard it, but he saw Francisco turning to them with a gravely courteous smile. "So you think that money is the root of all evil?" said Francisco Danconia. "Have you ever asked what is the root of money? Money is a tool of exchange, which can't exist unless there are goods produced and men able to produce them. Money is the material shape of the principle that men who wish to deal with one another must deal by trade and give value for value. Money is not the tool of the moochers who claim your product by tears, or of the looters who take it from you by force. Money is made possible only by the men who produce. Is this what you consider evil? When you accept money in payment for your effort, you do so only on the conviction that you will exchange it for the product of the effort of others. It is not the moochers or the looters who give value to money. Not an ocean of tears, nor all the guns in the world, can transform those pieces of paper in your wallet into the bread you will need to survive tomorrow. Those pieces of paper, which should have been gold, are a token of honor. Your claim upon the energy of the men who produce. Your wallet is your statement of hope that somewhere in the world around you, there are men who will not default on that moral principle, which is the root of money. Is this what you consider evil? Have you ever looked for the root of production? Take a look at an electric generator and dare tell yourself that it was created by the muscular effort of unthinking brutes. Try to grow a seed of wheat without the knowledge left to you by men who had to discover it for the first time. Try to obtain your food by means of nothing but physical motions, and you'll learn that man's mind is the root of all the goods produced and of all the wealth that has ever existed on earth. But you say that money is made by the strong at the expense of the weak. What strength do you mean? It is not the strength of guns or muscles. Wealth is the product of man's capacity to think. Then is money made by the man who invents a motor at the expense of those who did not invent it? Is money made by the intelligent at the expense of the fools? By the able at the expense of the incompetent? By the ambitious at the expense of the lazy? Money is made before it can be looted or mooched. Made by the effort of every honest man, each to the extent of his ability. An honest man is one who knows that he can't consume more than he has produced. To trade by means of money is the code of the men of goodwill. Money rests on the axiom that every man is the owner of his mind and his effort. Money allows no power to prescribe the value of your effort, except the voluntary choice of the man who is willing to trade you his effort in return. Money permits you to obtain for your goods and your labor that which they are worth to the men who buy them. But no more. Money permits no deals, except those to mutual benefit by the unforced judgment of the traders. Money demands of you the recognition that men must work for their own benefit, not for their own injury, for their gain, not their loss. The recognition that they are not beasts of burden born to carry the weight of your misery, that you must offer them values, not wounds. That the common bond among men is not the exchange of suffering, but the exchange of goods. Money demands that you sell not your weakness to men's stupidity, but your talent to their reason. It demands that you buy not the shoddiest they offer, but the best that your money can find. And when men live by trade, with reason, not force, as their final arbiter, it is the best product that wins, the best performance, the man of best judgment and highest ability. And the degree of a man's productiveness is the degree of his reward. This is the code of existence, whose tool and symbol is money. Is this what you consider evil? But money is only a tool. It will take you wherever you wish, but it will not replace you as the driver. It will give you the means for the satisfaction of your desires, but it will not provide you with desires. Money is the scourge of the men who attempt to reverse the law of causality, the men who seek to replace the mind by seizing the products of the mind. Money will not purchase happiness for the man who has no concept of what he wants. Money will not give him a code of values if he's evaded the knowledge of what to value, and it will not provide him with a purpose if he's evaded the choice of what to seek. Money will not buy intelligence for the fool, or admiration for the coward, or respect for the incompetent. The man who attempts to purchase the brains of his superiors to serve him, with his money replacing his judgment, ends up by becoming the victim of his inferiors. The men of intelligence desert him, but the cheats and the frauds come flocking to him, drawn by a law which he has not discovered, that no man may be smaller than his money. Is this the reason why you call it evil? Only the man who does not need it is fit to inherit wealth. The man who would make his own fortune no matter where he started. If an heir is equal to his money, it serves him. If not, it destroys him. But you look on and you cry that money corrupted him, did it? Or did he corrupt his money? Do not envy a worthless heir. His wealth is not yours, and you would have done no better with it. Do not think that it should have been distributed among you. Loading the world with 50 parasites instead of one would not bring back the dead virtue which was the fortune. Money is a living power that dies without its root. Money will not serve the mind that cannot match it. Is this the reason why you call it evil? Money is your means of survival. The verdict you pronounce upon the source of your livelihood is the verdict you pronounce upon your life. If the source is corrupt, you have damned your own existence. Did you get your money by fraud, by pandering to men's vices or men's stupidity, by catering to fools in the hope of getting more than your ability deserves, by lowering your standards, by doing work you despise for purchases you scorn? If so, then your money will not give you a moment's or a penny's worth of joy. Then all the things you buy will become not a tribute to you, but a reproach, not an achievement, but a reminder of shame. Then you'll scream that money is evil. Evil because it would not pinch hit for your self-respect. Evil because it would not let you enjoy your depravity. Is this the root of your hatred of money? Money will always remain an effect and refuse to replace you as the cause. Money is the product of virtue, but it will not give you virtue, and it will not redeem your vices. Money will not give you the unearned, neither in matter nor in spirit. Is this the root of your hatred of money? Or did you say it's the love of money that's the root of all evil? To love a thing is to know and love its nature. To love money is to know and love the fact that money is the creation of the best power within you, and your pass key to trade your effort for the effort of the best among men. It's the person who would sell his soul for a nickel, who is loudest in proclaiming his hatred of money. And he has good reason to hate it. The lovers of money are willing to work for it. They know they are able to deserve it. Let me give you a tip on a clue to men's characters. The man who damns money has obtained it dishonorably. The man who respects it has earned it. Run for your life from any man who tells you that money is evil. That sentence is the leper's bell of an approaching looter. So long as men live together on earth and need means to deal with one another, their only substitute, if they abandon money, is the muzzle of a gun. But money demands of you the highest virtues, if you wish to make it or to keep it. Men who have no courage, pride, or self-esteem, men who have no moral sense of their right to their money, and who are not willing to defend it as they defend their life, who apologize for being rich, will not remain rich for long. They are the natural bait for the swarms of looters that stay under rocks for centuries but come crawling out at the first smell of a man who begs to be forgiven for the guilt of owning wealth. They will hasten to relieve him of the guilt and of his life as he deserves. Then you will see the rise of the men of the double standard, the men who live by force, yet count on those who live by trade to create the value of their looted money, the men who are the hitchhikers of virtue. In a moral society, these are the criminals, and the statutes are written to protect you against them. But when a society establishes criminals by right and looters by law, men who use force to seize the wealth of disarmed victims, then money becomes its creators of venture. Such looters believe it safe to rob defenseless men once they've passed a law to disarm them. But their loot becomes the magnet for other looters, who get it from them as they got it. Then the race goes not to the ablest at production, but to those most ruthless at brutality. When force is the standard, the murderer wins over the pickpocket. And then that society vanishes in a spread of ruins and slaughter.
Very powerful stuff. What more do you want?
I do it for my health. The body feels me quite as much as I feel myself. Max normal. The baddest public speaker, suck funk from the ether. It's pumped through your speaker, play fans. You chose the wrong part to piss in. You work for us, man, here's your job description. Love us more than anything in your life. We don't play games, drop names, pull strings, or bite us. Nothing of us save that which is practically beneficent to you and your quest for complete self-sufficient. Choose the quickest way between two points. Don't waste your energy on this into action. Don't be scared of anything except letting yourself down out. Do yourself, work harder than anyone else. Now make very clear distinctions between parasites and creators. Be a creator instead of a secondhand artificial flavor. Do not concern yourself with anyone's opinion of your method. Save your own, be three steps ahead of everyone, and I promise you'll make it home. Do not sleep too much. Be firm yet supple, use me as a weapon, max normal. Flirts with trouble, put me on the front line. I cannot be destroyed, you know the deal. Anti-personnel spells get deployed. Make our music as available as possible. This shit is there, why fuck with it if you feel you got the skill? Do not try to be clever, rather direct, practical. Of a fancy construct, diagrammatical. The free radical alone, hitman for hire. Power hungry liars, fan the fire. Treat people who do not understand what we do with the least amount of energy as possible. Live it, don't give it, be original, even when you aren't. Make your mom proud, take us all over the world. We like to travel, steer clear of dead things you never know. You might unravel your hidden secrets. Young descendants of Eve, work the hardest at becoming entirely independent of me. Utilize me as you would a product. Here comes the best bit, invent the future, then manifest it. Keep yourself in check, sir, don't forget it. Decide exactly what it is that you want, then go out and get it without requiring anything of anyone. Spark something new that'll last forever. Don't go to them, let them come to you. Do not underestimate your value. Start representing when my mom sent me into this world. She sent a blessing. This job description could be translated as how to manage an explosion. Stay invisible to you, invincible. Then set your plan in motion. This is war. We battle demons. Become the perfect assassin. Do not endanger the unit by being anything less than perfect. The channels are open. Do not be afraid of this, but know that stepping through these channels is dangerous. Corporate giants can't cover the link between our art and our clients. So come on, freak us out. Be defiant, non-compliant, and above all things, be honest. If that there's no end in sight, and know that a world defend it, but shit my life. If I'm at knowing that having indefinite fun requires meticulous maintenance, I've been ridiculously conspicuous, but now I'm sick of the pain, cause I'm here to bring the pain. Let us avoid stagnation at a cost. Step lively, do what you say, kick information at a loss. And that I do not perform for people, I make music that I love, and it's wonderful to watch people in love.
Now, go find the others.com.
Yeah, man, I'll tell you what, that dang old internet, man, you just go on there and point and click, 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 click. It's real easy, man.